Glory to Jesus. I'm glad that you are here today. I'm glad you're part of the committed, the faithful, the dedicated, those that will pursue God in the midst of anything that comes, no matter what storm we face. How many know that Jesus is the master of the storm? He said we're going across to the other side, and I believe what he said. I said the winds may blow, the waves may rage, the adversities may come, but greater is he that's in me, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. And we know that we are people of God. We have the victory. Thanks be unto Jesus who always causes us to triumph. I want to read the first three verses and continue in this important, I really believe, a timely message of eternity. How many of you believe in eternity? How many of you believe that heaven is real? Do you believe that hell is real? Do you believe Jesus is real? Do you believe that there's a real devil that wants to steal, to kill, and destroy? Blind the hearts of men and women and get them off into other things. Get them off into pursuit of other gods and idols. All the things that would distract and take away what God is doing in the earth today. I like what it says here. He says, behold, look in verse 21, verse 1. He said, now I saw a new heaven, say new heaven, and a new earth. How many know that God can make all things new? If any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. The Greek word for new is to make fresh. God can make things fresh. God can make things new in your life. He said, also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. Say, coming down. Out of heaven. That's where God is right now. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and let's believe God to receive. Father, we thank you this morning for your word to us. Lord, I pray right now that I could decrease and you could increase in this place today. Lord, this message is not about me. It's not about our city. It's not about our church. But it's about the ability you have to create a new heaven and a new earth. And you can make all things new. So I come against now any deterrence. I come against any distraction. I bind Satan in the name of Jesus. And I loose liberty and I loose freedom. I loose the spirit of life in Christ Jesus to flow into this congregation today. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name for what you're going to do. And everybody said amen. Last Sunday, I started this message on heaven. And I was using 9 words. And I believe we got to about 4 of them. And we were talking about re-words, R-E. Re is a word that means to bring back again. And God is going to bring back and he's going to restore. We used several words, you know, like rebirth, reborn, renewed, rebooted. It's like, you know, the computer, when it freezes up and when it crashes, you know, you have to turn it off and reboot it. I was listening to my iPod this week, and all of a sudden it just froze up. It wouldn't turn off. It wouldn't turn on, and there was just a picture on there and nothing, nada. And I said, well, I was about ready to throw the thing away. I thought it had just, because I dropped it a couple of days before, I thought it had just cratered on me. And I got to reading the instruction manual, and it says that you can reboot an iPod. I didn't even know you could reboot one. And so I did what it said. I followed the manual, rebooted it, and voila, it came back to life. You know, there's a lot of people that need to be rebooted. There's a lot of people that are frozen. They have viruses. And their software is all messed up. And God can reboot you. God can make things fresh. And God can make things new. And so we begin to use these re-words to describe it. That's what I want you to see this morning. That's why I prayed the way I prayed. That you won't just listen to the message today with your natural hearing, but that God will open the eyes of your understanding, that you can begin to see this place called heaven that God is preparing for His people. You know, we have to picture these things, not in our mind, but from our spirit as God reveals them to us by the Holy Spirit. Because I'm going to tell you, it is as good as we can try and as imaginative as we can be, we still cannot put words on how glorious it's going to be in the eternal things of God. And so, you know, I don't make attempt to know everything, but I know a few things, and the things that I know and the things that the Spirit of God has revealed to me, I'll reveal them to you. I don't know how long God has been working on the eternal heaven, but I know it's been a long time. And I know whatever God works on is going to be better than good. It's going to be better than advertised. It's going to be better than anything we could imagine or anything that we could think. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. That's why we can't get caught up and just lost in this temporal world, because it's going to change. God is not going to, and we learned this last week, you know, God is not going to completely destroy the earth. It will be burned by fire. 2 Peter 3 tells us that. But God is going to use the same elements, and He's going to make it new. He's going to refresh it, and He's going to bring heaven, if you will, down and place it into a new earth, a new heaven coming to a new earth. And we use these re-words. The first one, let me just give them to you quickly here as we go this morning into the other ones. Rejoice. You know, there's going to be in heaven a great choir, and those who are part of heaven will be part of that choir. You don't have to join the choir. You'll be part of the choir. The Bible teaches us that there is great joy going on in heaven even right now. We know that as just one sinner gives his heart, gives his life to the Lord, the Bible says that the angels of heaven are rejoicing. So you can shout, you can sing, you can praise, because all the rocks and all the hills and all the flowers, everything is going to be making melody and singing praises to God in heaven. But it's going to be, listen to me, it's going to be 10 million times better than it is here in the earth. You can't even begin again to imagine. Sometimes we hear beautiful worship music. We hear beautiful praise. But it's going to be, oh, so much better than what you've ever heard in your natural hearing. Somebody say amen. And then we talked about the other reword, relationships. Because in heaven, there's going to be a restoration of relationships. There's not going to be marriage as we know it or given in marriage. We're going to be like the angels. That's what it says in Matthew 22:30. And so we will look like we look now. In other words, I know some of you don't like to hear that part, but we will know each other. We will be able to recognize each other, and there will be a restoration of our families and those that we know here in this earth that make heaven in eternity. We will know them when we get there. Amen? Amen. And then the third word is the word release. And I tried to explain to you that in heaven there'll be no more devil. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah right there. There's no more debts. There's no more discouragement. There's nothing to bind you in any way. There is nothing that will bring sickness or disease or harmony. The whole atmosphere of heaven will be an atmosphere of liberty and release. There will not be any bondages. Think of it. There'll not be any disease. There'll not be any sickness. There'll not be anything there that will cause you to be sad. Everything will be joyful. Everything will be full of peace and the love of God. Somebody say amen. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole earth is in that travail. waiting for that liberty to come, because the earth now is under and operating under the curse since the fall of man. And then the fourth one I'm still reviewing here is the word resurrection. These rewords that I'm giving you to make fresh, to bring back new. And we understand that there's going to be a resurrection. You know, when you die now, you go into that grave and your body turns into dust. But God will put all that dust back together again and make you into a glorified spiritual body. I mean, you won't have any defects. You won't have any flaws. There won't be any imperfection. Anything that ails you here, you'll be healed. You'll be whole in your mind, in your body, and you will be there in a glorified body. Just like when Jesus came after his resurrection and appeared to the disciples. Now, you may have some distinguishing marks. You may have some marks of your character that was here in the earth, but it will not be a flaw, because Jesus showed them the nail prints in his arm. He showed them where they pierced his side. So there may be some distinguishing marks that displayed your character in this life, but when you come back, you will exchange this physical body for a spiritual body. A body on the earth is made for the earth, but the body in heaven is made for heaven. We'll have a glorified spiritual body. Think of it. You won't ever have to worry about forgetting where you put your car keys, lost something. You'll be able to go through doors. You'll be able to move around like the angels are moving around today. Somebody ought to say praise God. Okay? Then the fifth word, and I want to begin today because I've got nine of them, so let's get moving here. The other word I want you to see is the word reality. You know, we have tried to make it clear to you that heaven is a real place, just like hell is a real place. In verse 3, if you'll read there, Revelation 21, 3. And I'm just going to read the scripture to you a little bit so that you can begin to picture what heaven is going to be like and those that are going to make heaven as part of their eternal destiny. How many of you plan to spend eternity with God? Well, you know, there's some qualifications. There's some things that we must make sure that get in place in our life so that we can be part of the eternal heaven. It said, I heard a loud voice. Look at verse 3 again. From heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Now, we understand that the Old Testament was a shadow of the real. In other words, it was, if you will, an imitation of the real thing. We know that God instructed Moses to build that little tent. That little tent was called a tabernacle. And that tabernacle had an outer court, of course. It had an inner court. And it had a place there where the presence of God was housed in the Ark of the Covenant, called the Holy of Holies. Well, again, that replica or that imitation was a shadow of what is real in heaven. And so we have to begin to see this, that everything that we see as a type or a shadow, the real is already in heaven. When we get to heaven, it will not be an imitation. When we get to heaven, it will not be a replica. It will be the real thing. That's why I tell you, when we get to heaven, everything is going to be thousands or million times better than what it was here. That tabernacle, that tent in the Old Testament, I'm sure it would deter and they would have to construct it and redo it. But how many know in heaven things are eternal things, and what God has made there, it will never deter, it will never rot, it will never rust, it will never corrupt. You know, we have to, I heard this, you may have heard it too, these two friends, they really loved to play baseball, Marvin. I mean, they love the game of baseball, and they kind of talk with each other. They were buddies. They said, I tell you what, he said, if you die and go to heaven before I do, see if there's some way that you can get back a message to me that there's baseball in heaven. Oh, I mean, they love baseball. Well, you know, story goes on, and I don't know how much longer, but one of them died, and he went to heaven. And the other buddy, he was there, you know, a few months passed by, and he had this dream. And here came his buddy, and he came down. And he said, oh, he said, I got good news, and I got some bad news. He said, well, tell me the good news. He said, there is baseball in heaven. You're going to enjoy it. He said, what's the bad news? He said, you're pitching this Friday. Now, everything that we think is wonderful here, heaven is going to be filled with good things. I'm not saying it's going to be filled with all the good things you like to do, because I don't know all the good things you like to do. But it'll be filled with all the good things that God likes to do. And I tell you, it's going to be a wonderful place. Some people say there's no animals in heaven. Well, I beg to differ. I believe there will be animals in heaven. I have scripture to stand on. Go back and read Isaiah 65, Isaiah 19. You find, or Isaiah 11. You find that there is going to be in heaven all those animals that God created. Now, I don't know if your pet's going to be there. I guess if your pet was a good pet, it'll be there. I know you can't save animals, but the Bible talks about the lion laying down with the lamb, okay? There'll be no carnivorous animals. In other words, the food chain won't be such like it is now. They're not going to eat and devour one another. They're going to get along with one another. They're going to love one another. They're going to play with one another. This is heaven. Are you with me? We got to get a picture of that. In Revelation 19, it says Jesus is coming back on a white horse. Well, where do you think that white horse came from? It's coming from heaven. I heard, I think it was Reinhard Bunk, he said he was on the, this is the Kentucky Derby weekend. He was on the flight one year to Kentucky to preach an evangelistic crusade. And it was a guy kind of had a few too many drinks on the plane. He said, oh, he said, are you going over there to bet on the horses? He said, I've already bet on one. He said, you have? He said, what horse did you bet on? He said, I bet on the horse of Revelation 19. He said, what horse is that? He said, that's the white horse that's coming back. And he said, oh, really? Who's the jockey on that? He said, it is the one called Faithful and True. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, you have to realize, folks, that there's going to be a lot of things in heaven that you didn't think was going to be there. And I know some people don't like cats and some people don't like dogs, but listen, God is going to have heaven beautiful, and it's going to be full of his creation. Can somebody say praise the Lord? And then the next one is found over in Revelation 21. Look at verse 7. We're going to call reward. Not only will there be a reality, and that's what I'm trying to get through to you today as we read the scripture and let the scripture, you know, minister to us and open up the eyes of our understanding, but there's going to be reward in heaven. Now, how do we get our reward? Let's look at this. Let's look at verse 7. It says, he who overcomes, and let me just stop there and pause, because if you read the book of Revelation when he was talking to the churches, there is nothing promised for anyone that doesn't overcome. Now, how many of you plan to overcome? Okay, so we're talking to overcomers. Overcomers are those that never, you know, it's not the ones that never have problems. It's not the ones that never go through anything in life. It's not the ones that, you know, never struggle with situations or things. It's those that when they face the problems and the storms and the issues of life, they know that Jesus is on the inside of them, and that if they stand in faith, I said they stand in Bible faith, believing God, then all things are possible to them. Amen. And there'll be some good days, and there'll be some days that you wonder why you're even living. But I tell you what, you're going to make it through. You're going to make it through today, and you're going to wake up in the morning. It's going to be a brand new day. And you follow God, you'll make it through tomorrow too. See, that's what we got to look at, folks. We got to get our eyes off of the temporal things. We got to get our eyes off of those things that are perishing. Our outward man, it's perishing day by day, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we make the exchange. We're going to get rid of this thing anyway on the outside. Somebody, amen? We're going to get rid of this, but on the inside, we should be coming stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And what tripped us up yesterday, bless God. God, I got victory over today. What tripped me up last month, I've got victory over the next time it comes. The devil might find something new, but bless God, let him bring it on, because when he brings it, I'm going to go back to the Word of God, and I'm going to defeat him just like I defeated him before, just like Jesus defeated him and has put all things under my feet. Pardon me while I get excited. Now look at this. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Now, we understand we serve a God of abundance. And we understand that God wants to prosper us in this life. In this world, there is an exchange of monetary things. In this world, in this present life, it takes money to operate with our faith. Can somebody say amen? But in heaven, there won't be that kind of exchange. There won't be monies in heaven. But you see, it'll be more like in the book of Acts, where everything belongs to the community. In other words, you don't own anything. I know sometimes we get kind of, you know, in our thinking, well, John 14 says that we're going to have a mansion when we get to heaven. And some of you start thinking about Beverly Hills or, you know, some... And you know, you see yourself weed eating next to your neighbor's fence. Listen, it's not going to be about that. In fact, that word mansion is really translated in the Greek as a dwelling place, an apartment, if you will. Because you're going to have not ownership, but you're going to possess everything that God has. Everything that God is. That is your reward in heaven. You're not going to have jealousy of your neighbor. There's not going to be envy of your neighbor. What you have, they have. What they have, you have. You have everything that God has. It'll belong to all of us, because he goes on and says that we are his sons. Listen, you know, in the natural, when we and I go on, when we die, we go on to be with the Lord. Our children are going to get whatever we've accumulated in this life. It's a law. They will be those that inherit what we have. And so there won't be any money in heaven. And you know, a preacher was preaching about the fact that there's not going to be any money in heaven. And a lady out in the audience heard a little girl punch her mother and said, "Hey, he said there's not going to be any money in heaven. Mom, we're already in heaven." Some of y'all a little sleepy this morning. But see, you won't need it there, because there won't be anything to buy. There won't be anything there to sell. Are you with me? There'll be a possession, but everybody, it won't be like a sum of money, but the rewards will be eternal. The rewards will be based on what you've done here in this life for God. That's why I encourage you, look, and we'll find out in a minute. That's why I encourage you, find out what you're supposed to be doing. Find your place, because that's what you're going to be rewarded for in heaven. How many of you want to have something to lay at the feet of Jesus? How many of you want to have some crowns, not for you to wear in heaven, but for you to lay at the feet of Jesus when you come through those pearly white gates? Oh, somebody say praise the Lord. So Revelation 21:10 brings me to this, that it begins to picture. And again, you can't really put this into human perspective, because we have nothing really to relate to except the Word of God and how the Holy Spirit. Now look, how it begins to reveal to us what heaven is going to be like. It says, for example, "And he carried me away," verse 10, "in the spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me this great city, and the holy Jerusalem descending, coming down, which God has been spending no telling how many years, millenniums, developing and building this city." Remember, Abraham in his day said he was looking for a God who is building and maker this city. So, you know, we all we have and all we can go by is what it says in the Word of God. We know that this city was 1,500 miles long and 1,500 miles wide. Do you understand? That's a city, a metropolitan, metroplex, whatever you want to call it, larger than twice the size of Texas if you went east to west, north to south. I'm talking about a city that would cover that much geographical area. 1,500 miles high. Do you understand how far 1,500 miles high is? The space station is 225 miles high in space that orbits around. And the city of Jerusalem, the new city, is going to be 1,500 feet or another 1,200 feet or so higher than that. If you're up on the top floor, you're going to look way down at the space station. Are you here? And it talks about how that the city is going to have 12 stories or 12 foundations. It talks about that the city in verse 14, it said had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. But it's not like foundations that we have. It's not going to be made out of concrete. Somebody the other day was complaining about the price of concrete. You know, they sell concrete by cubic yard. And I don't know what it is now. Probably, Lonnie, somebody could tell me, $70, $80 a yard. But you know, God, He pays and puts His foundations out of gold. Now, they sell concrete about $75 a cubic yard, but they sell gold by the ounce. About 1,000. How many ounces do you think are in a cubic yard of concrete? Are you here? It's like, you know, like the guy, he got up to the gates. Man, he had two suitcases, all his gold, all his collection of gold coins. And they said, hey, just leave that outside. We don't need any more pavement up here in heaven. You see, what we place is value, and we look at some of our possessions, and say, oh, man, isn't this great? But it's just so teeny. It's just so teeny, teeny, teeny in perspective of the way heaven's going to be. Are you with me? And so we know that there's 12 foundations. They're going to be transparent in this gold outlay. And it says in verse 15, and he who walked with me had gold reed to measure the city and its gates. And I'll save you some time reading, but that's how we know how it measured out. And if you get on down to verse 21, now look at this. It says the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Can you imagine these big old massive gates? Like somebody said, you know, I'd like to see the oyster that thing came from. I mean, you're talking massive 200, 300, 400 foot gates that guard the entrance to every section in this great city, this city called Jerusalem. Can you begin to get a perspective of it? It says the individual gate was one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. It was so pure that you could see right through it. And he said, look at this, verse 22, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Somehow, some way, God is going to be in the center. God and Jesus are going to be in the center of this new city, this great city called the New Jerusalem or the New Heaven. And the throne room is going to radiate out of the center of this thing, and there's not going to be any need for any kind of artificial or other natural light because the light will be radiated out of the throne of God. Now again, we can't begin to hardly imagine that. But the Bible says that the face of Jesus shines like the noonday sun. I'm talking about a bright, I'm talking about a light that we can't even begin to imagine. And so we know it says there'll be no temple in it because the Lord Almighty God, that will be His temple, amen, and the Lamb are in it. It says the city had no need, verse 23, had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it for the glory of God. Look at this, for the glory of God illuminated the Lamb. That's Jesus, is its light. How many know that Jesus is the light? Hallelujah. He is the light, and He is the life of God. Now look at verse 24, because it brings me to the seventh word here. I'm going to give you a call, registration. So we know we have a reward. The reward is that we're going to have a place with God in this massive, huge, large metroplex of a city, so grand, so marvelous. All you again, if you read all that, you'll see that the walls, they're not made out of sheetrock and paint and tilt up material. They're made out of jewels and precious stones that just glitter and glamour, if you will, and reflect the glory of God. Can you picture all that gold that is shining and all the jewels, the sapphires and the onyx and everything being sparkling with the light and the radiance of God's glory? We just sit there and go, we get caught up in things of this earth and we miss the fullness of the glory of God. Amen. That's why we're just passing through. Come on, somebody. We're just passing through. Hallelujah. Well, here's the next reword in verse 7 of Revelation. It says, let me read it to you. It says, verse 24. Still in Revelation 21. Are you there? Okay. It says, and the nations of those who are what? Saved. Say saved. Go on, shout it again. Because now we're going to talk about registration. We're going to talk about registration. Write down Hebrews 12:23. Well, look, you can look at that later. But it talks about that in heaven, it'll be the registered saints of God. The registered saints of God. It says this. It says, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Now, this is what helped me in my understanding that the new heaven will be placed down here in the new, if you will, the new created earth right here. Because the nations are the people, the kings will walk into that city. It says, its gates shall not be shut all by day. There shall be no light there. For they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Now this will help you, okay? Because God is a God of people. God created people uniquely and distinctly. And, you know, there is different cultures. I said there, you may not like some of the food the Chinese eat. You may not like to eat fish heads and eyeballs. But then Chinese might not like to eat menudo. You see, God created all the cultures and all the ethnic groups. And there's going to be a blending. There's going to be a coming together in this great city. There's not going to be any prejudice. Come on, somebody. But the prerequisite is that you have to be registered. You have to be on the roll. Come on. You have to be, if you will, just like you have become a citizen of the United States. You say, how do you know you're a citizen of the United States? Because they send you the IRS sends you a little tax package every year. They got your name and your SS number, your Social Security number in a computer somewhere. And so you are registered in the United States as a citizen. They got your number and they know where you live. And if you don't pay them, they'll come after you. Are you with me so far? Well, how many understand that we are citizens now? We are registered when we got, look what it says. It says there shall be no means entering. Look at verse 27. There shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie. I said, or a lie. There's just some people that can't tell the truth. I'll keep right reading. But only, say only, those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now the word written in the original means to write your name on a registry or on a roll. Well, when I got saved, when I got born again, and I was sharing this on Wednesday, I became a citizen of heaven. I am pre-enrolled, if you will, and there's a place there with my name on it, because my name is registered in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I don't plan on doing anything that would cause it to be taken out. Are you with me? But there's a whole lot of difference here in being a citizen of heaven. Because a citizen of heaven, there is no second class citizens. Everybody in heaven will be a VIP. Don't it just irk you when you go somewhere and it says reserved for VIPs? You know, you can go to a football, one of those big stadium football games, and they have VIP parking. They have VI lounges, VIP sections. And if you're just a peon, you can't go into the VIP section. Well, how many know there's not going to be any cheap seats in heaven? There's not going to be peons, little guys in heaven. Come on with me, somebody. Everybody is going to be a VIP in heaven. Praise God. And there is rewards, but you have to be registered. You have to have your name. You have to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life to get there. You will not get into that. That's the point. You will not get into that place unless you're registered. How many of you are registered? Okay. If you're not registered, we'll give you an opportunity in just a minute. All right, now let's look at the next word here. The next word is found in Revelation 22. I'm just reading the Bible. Is it okay? Okay. Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. The next reword I want to give you is restoration. I'll have this for you next week, okay? So just listen good if you can't write it all down. Just like we did today, I had her put them in the bulletin for you because we want to help you. I want you to get a reality so you can get busy for God and do God's will in the earth. Amen. You're going to see how important it is in just a minute. It says in verse 1 of Revelation chapter 22, it said, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life." Underline that. Water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Now, what is going to make me live forever? What is going to cause me to live forever? You know, all throughout history, we've had men and great people look for the fountain of youth. I said people that were looking for some magic formula, some vitamin, some pill, something you could take. Ponce de Leon discovered Florida because he was looking for the fountain of youth. Well, right in heaven, let me tell you, is going to be a river of life. And when you drink that water from that river, it's not like regular water. It's not like Rio Grande River water. It is not like any river water you have ever tasted. In this water is the very life of God. What will sustain you, what will keep you, what will never, never, never cause you to grow old, sick, or disease, or decay, is this river of water. The water of God, the water of life. And it says, now look, it says that it's flowing out of the throne room of God. And this water is crystal. The word crystal there is a word that means to shimmer with light. The water is alive. And it's not like natural light, but it's like a light. Can you imagine this water so pure, so crystal-like that it shimmer and glimmer with the very light and the aura of God? And when you drink that water in it sustains. It is the fountain of youth. It is the life of God. Now look what it says. It says in verse 2, "And in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life." Now not only do we have the water of life, but now we have the tree of life. Now look at this. Where did we read about the tree of life before? The tree of life was originally planted in the Garden of Eden. See, when God brings back heaven to earth and everything is restored and put back into its original state, that's why we know we can go back and look, if you will, how God originally set up the earth and how it was intended to operate and how it was intended to run until man fell. The tree of life was in the Garden of Eden originally, but when man sinned, rebelled against God, what happened? They were booted out of the Garden of Eden because if they had drank from the tree of life, or rather eat from the tree of life, they would have had that eternal life. They would not have grown old. They would not have lost their body. Come on, somebody. Their spirit separated from God, but they were booted out. That's why we have to be rebooted. Come on, that's why we have to be reborn again, okay? But I wanted you to see that fact, that in heaven, that tree of life, which God originally had planted there, is part of heaven's decor. And you will eat of that tree. And when you eat of that tree, what does it say? It said the leaves are for the healing. Here it is, for the healing of the nations. It says the leaves of the tree were for the healing of its nation. But go back and read. It says, which bore 12 fruits, each yielding its fruit every month. Now, whoa. This tree, apparently everywhere a root springs up is part of the tree, because it's on both sides of the river and it's going to be all over heaven. And every month it's going to have a fresh new fruit for you to eat. And when you eat that fruit, see, just like when you drink that water, it's going to, if you will, fortify you. It is going to cause you to never grow old, to never decay, to never, never, never have any kind of sickness or disease. I don't know what kind of fruit it'll be, but it says every month. Now, sometimes people say, well, eternity, I thought we didn't have time. Well, who said that? If it produces a new crop of fruit every month, if you have a month, then you got to have days. If you have days, you got to have hours. You got to have years. Are you with me? Who said there is no time? Just because you step into eternity, time is still going to pass, because eternity is longer than you can imagine. Are you with me? But there's going to be a fruit that you and I can eat and partake of. And that fruit is going to fortify us with the life of God. We won't miss enchiladas and fajitas. We don't think of it in that realm. That's why I'm trying to get you to see these things with your spiritual eyes, okay? And hear with your spiritual understanding. Because these things is what's going to sustain us for and throughout eternity. Well, he says that, and he goes on to say, because you'll always feel at your peak. You'll never have a low energy day. You won't have to eat a Snicker bar to get pumped up. You'll always feel in perfect health. You'll always feel like, somebody said, how old will you be? I don't know. I can't verify, but I believe you'll feel like a perfect specimen of health at 33 years old. Now, some of you can't remember that far back, or maybe some of you have never been healthy in your life, but I'm going to tell you something. You will never, ever have a low energy day. You will never have a day where you don't feel like praising God. You will never have a day that you are discouraged and down because something didn't go right, because everything is going to go right in heaven. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. Well, not only will there be the water there, but there'll be the fruit of these trees. And it is a different cycle. There won't be nighttime like we know nighttime, because all of heaven will be lit by God. And how many know there is no darkness in God? So if there's no nighttime, there's no sleep time. If there's no sleep time, there's no awake time. You're awake all the time. You don't get sleepy. Are you here? See, you can't really imagine all these things with the natural mind. And so everything that the devil has corrupted and destroyed and flawed and made evil and made bad in this earth, God is going to perfect it. God is going to take all the ugly and make it beautiful, all the evil and make it good. It's going to be a wonderful place. Who would in their right mind would not want to go to heaven? Well, that's the point. You got to be in the wrong mind not to want to go. You got to be an unsaved person, or a person that has no concept that God is really God, the God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God who created everything that's in this earth. everything that's above this earth. To Him be the glory. Amen. To Him be the glory. Well, there has to be a restoration. And then this last one I want you to get is this revelation. See, Revelation 22, 3, 5. Let me read that one. It says, "And there shall be no more curse." Somebody say praise God there. There is no more curse because the curse will be removed from the earth. "But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." Now look at this. "And His servants shall serve Him." Now let me just slow down here just a minute. "And His servants." Do I have any of His servants in here today? Now read this and reread this. His servants. Now what is His servants going to be doing? You know, people get the concept again, "Oh, I'm going to heaven. We're going to have 72 virgins to wait on us." Well, why do you need 72 virgins for? They're not going to be sex in heaven. You're not going to need a butler. You're not going to need a maid. You're not going to be some prima donna in heaven. Everybody's status is going to be the same. We're going to be serving one another. Now, what are we going to be doing for 50 trillion, billion, zillion years? Huh? Well, the answer is right there. The answer is right there in that verse. His servants, what does it say? Somebody read it. And are you up there? It says, "And His servants will" what? "Shall serve Him." Now, my question to you is, are you serving God now? Sure get quiet in this Full Gospel Presbyterian Church. I know the answer to that. Because most of you haven't discovered what you're supposed to be doing in serving God. Some of you think you're serving God because you got up this morning and came to church. No, it's a privilege to come to church. Serving God. We taught on Wednesday. If you miss Wednesday, listen to it. Listen to it. Powerful word from the Spirit of God. Now, it's not for the faint-hearted. It's X-rated. I'll warn you. Because you have to decide whether you're going to be a productive citizen or an unproductive citizen. Romans chapter 12 goes through all of these gifts, these grace gifts that He has endowed. Every one of you has been created with a talent and with a gift. Do they teach you these things in Bible school? Okay. So I'm not teaching anything off the wall, right? I said every one of you has been created by God. He doesn't create junk. He doesn't create a mess. Now, you may have made a mess out of your life, but He's created you in some capacity to serve Him. The law of heaven, listen to me, is very clear. The law of heaven is that we will serve Him and serve one another. Now the question is, are we serving Him and serving one another now? And the answer to that is, no, we're not, because we don't find what we're supposed to be doing in service to God. Because in service to God, we are serving one another. But the reality is that we live in a time when we want to be served. I want a clean church. I want a cool church. I want things to work. I want the floor to be clean. I want the toilets to be clean. Serve me. Serve me. Preach to me, Pastor. Preach to me, Pastor. We want to be served. But the law of the kingdom of heaven is that we serve God and we serve one another. I just gave you a key right there to happy, healthy, wholesome life. Marriages. You want a key to a marriage? I just give you one. When's the last time you asked your marriage person, your partner, male or female, "How can I serve you today, honey?" See, there's a difference. between serving and being served. Go to Luby's after lunch. You'll find some behind the counter with those plates with the towel and the napkin wrapped around them saying, "May I serve you? May I help you? May I serve you?" And you'll find some at the table with the napkin under their chin waiting to be served. Hello. Now, most of the church is at the table. Serve me. Serve me. Serve me. I'm busy. Don't bother me. Serve me. I work hard. Don't you understand? I go out and work so I can pay my tithe. Don't you understand? Well, it says his servants shall serve him. Well, if you don't learn to do it now, when are you going to learn to do it? You want to go to kindergarten 101, learning how to serve one another? When you get to heaven, because you were so hard-headed, you didn't listen to the pastor, and you didn't read the Word of God, and you didn't want to do anything for the kingdom of God? Why should we have to beg people in the church to serve in their church? Don't shout me down. I said, why should we have to, plead? These are tough jobs. I was thinking just how tough the children's church workers' job is in this church. You know why? Because I see some of your children. And some of you can't stand your children, but yet she's got to take them in there all the time I'm up here. I better get off of that. There ain't no job easy. And there is no job that's meaningless in the church. All the jobs in the church take the grace and the anointing of God. I thank God, God has graced somebody to handle those children besides me. But how many know you got to have it? I said you got to have it. Are you with me? And then the last verse here. Are y'all okay? Are y'all breathing? Okay. It says, and there shall be, look. And what's the matter? There we go. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Now let's read that last verse, okay, so we can quit. But it's not because the devil is forcing us. It says, and there shall be no more. That's not the right verse. The next one. Verse 5. No, verse 4. Verse 4. Back it up. I didn't want to read this fast, and we're not getting there very fast, but look at it. It says what? And they shall see his. Don't read that too fast. You're thinking you're going to go through the gates. Oh, I saw Jesus. Praise God. Now let's go. Somehow we have a concept that heaven is going to be like a glorified retirement center. A glorified John Knox or a country club. And we're just going to sit around and drink pina coladas, non-alcoholic. And we're going to just, sit out and put our sunglasses and bathe around the pool. We got the wrong perception of heaven. Did you see what that said? I want to make sure you see this. Because here really is what it's all about. He said, we shall see his face. You still didn't understand that. Do you realize Moses, the servant of God, said, God, I want to see your face. And what did God say? He said, He said, you can't see my face and live, Moses. Now, I think Moses is probably more perfected than some of us. He said, Moses, you cannot see my face and live. He said, but I will hide your eye and just let you see my hind parts as he passed by. But when you get to heaven, see, the physical body, this body we're in now, can't see God face to face. 1 Corinthians 13 says we look through a mirror, we look through a glass dimly. It's like Coke bottle lenses. But when we get there, we'll see him as we know him.
and we'll look at Him face to face. You can't look at Him face to face in this suit. But in the spiritual body, you can look right into His eyes. Imagine looking into the eyes of all wisdom, all knowledge, all love, all truth, all of God, the infinite, finite wisdom of God. And you're looking right in those eyes, face to face. Wow. It says, His name will be attached to our foreheads. Why? Because we are sealed. We belong to Him. He said, I'll be your God. And you'll be my people. In the next verse, please. You are sealed with His protection. Sealed with His security. Sealed forever. There shall be no night there. No need for lamp. For the light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign. Come on, somebody. For how long? And what? And they shall reign forever and ever and ever. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah, church. That's the end of the subject. That's the end of the subject. There was a wealthy Texas rancher wanted to impress his pastor. Now listen to me. Took him out on his ranch. And I've been on one of these ranches where you drive for miles to get into the ranch house, the center of the ranch. And this rancher, he wanted to impress his pastor. He said, look, as far as you can see, Pastor, you see all those hills over there, all those trees? He said, I own all that. He said, over here, he said, look, just as far as you can see those little things popping up. He said, those are little oil pumps. He said, I own all that. He said, see all those fields back there of all that grain, sorghum? He said, just as far as you can see. He said, I own all that. And the pastor kind of put his hand on his shoulder. Said, yeah, that's pretty impressive. And he pointed up and he said, how much of that do you own? See, we're impressed. We're impressed with a lot of things. But everybody look up. You know, how much of that do you own? Well, the only way that you're going to have a part in that is you're going to have to be registered. Your name is going to have to be written down on the roll of heaven. You're going to have to find your place in service to God. What was the last thing Jesus did before the communion, the Last Supper? What did He do? He took a wash basin, filled it with water, put a towel on His lap, squatted down, and began to wash the dirty, stinky feet of the disciples. And they said, oh, no, no, they resisted. But Jesus said, hey, unless you let me serve you, He said, you'll have no part in the kingdom. He was setting an example of serving. The Bible tells us at the marriage supper of the Lamb, He's going to serve. So ask yourself this morning, am I a person that's found my place? Am I looking? Am I serving God? Or am I just wanting everybody to wait on me? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You this morning.